spirit of fire. Lord, we are not asking for noise. We are not asking for drama. We are asking for your fire. Your fire that distinguishes a man from his best. Your fire that is able to refine us finer than gold. Your fire that is able to burn away every draw and to make us useful for you. Let this altar not be without fire. Let the altars of our lives have the fire of the Holy Ghost. Even the fires that have gone out, whether with the knowingly effort of sin or not, let there be a rekindling of the fires in our heart. The fire of service, the fire to love one another. Lord, rekindle this fire in our hearts, O God. Fire to take your gospel all around the nations. Fire to not rest until everyone around us is saved. Fire to keep us awake at night, seeking what is in your heart. Lord, let your fire burn on our altars. Thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing this prayer. We sang it in song. We are edified. But we are in expectation of the manifestation of your fire. That even in this service, let sicknesses burn away. Amen. That even in this service, let the things that have added themselves to the simplicity of the life you've given to us, let them burn away. So that the true essence of your life might be revealed in us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the ministration of your fire. Thank you, Jesus. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Can you welcome someone as you have your seat in God's presence? Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Today is a great day, right? Yes. So, where's Udeme? Ah, okay. Glory to God. So, this morning, I want us to look at a topic focus on the assignment, or renewed focus on the assignment. Focus on the assignment. And let's go to Luke chapter 9. Welcome everyone again. We start from verse 51. We're looking at focus on the assignment, or renewed focus. Renewed focus on the assignment. Either of the two is fine. Because what we're trusting God for today is to help us find our focus 100%. And focuses that are lost, you know, God will restore, you know, particularly if you have been distracted and you know that you can't find yourself back to 100% of focus. And also, even things that, you know, like we thank God for that song, because we'll be trusting God for the fire of God to burn away weight. Things that, because those are things that legitimately add themselves to us, and then they decelerate us, or they change or alter our focus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most of them are actually legitimate. Or like Bible says, they are lawful. But when we consider them in the context of our assignment, they are not expedient. Meaning they are not profitable. Now, if we... it's focus on the assignment or renewed focus on the assignment. So don't change the... Or don't truncate the topic. Amen. So let's go to Luke chapter 9. We'll start from verse 51. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now that's focus. So it was... It was at this time, some few chapters or just some few verses before now, not in the same chapter though. A few verses in the same chapter, he had talked about his death and how that must happen, you know. And so it says that, the Bible says that he was steadfastly focused on going to Jerusalem. Now, something would happen in Jerusalem where, you know, they will shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna." That was going to be the triumphant entry. Then after that, you know, he was going to go to the cross. Hallelujah. So his attention was, you know, I don't know if people on death row, they always look forward to the day of execution. Now, I wouldn't blame anyone who is afraid of that kind of experience, because it's not as though that death would be profitable, you know. His exit, a lot of people would even jubilate at that instance, because maybe he's a criminal, you get. But the death of our Lord Jesus Christ was a thing that was going to translate into what we have today, right? I can't hear us, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So he was steadfastly focused on going to Jerusalem. Verse 52. But Jesus said to him, "Do not forbid him, for he who is not..." Why did you go back? 52. Because I know what I've read. "And sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem." Now that's a beautiful one. Jesus wasn't distracted. Like they saw that this is not the person we should even welcome, because he's going somewhere. I don't know if people consider us as people that should not be distracted by the level of seriousness on our face. You know, at times when people come to you, they want to play with you, but when they just see, maybe you are having your morning devotion or something, you know, they just want to come and crack one joke. Can they actually break your transmission? because they know that you are not a serious person, or they know that this is not a moment I need to toy with. This guy's devotion is the most important thing to him. So it says in Samaritan, they didn't receive him because they knew he was set on a journey. Now, how they got that knowledge, I don't know. But Bible says they didn't receive him because his face was set. So it could be his body language. It could be him not even giving them attention. Remember, they say, oh, Jesus, stay with us. And he's saying, no, 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 I have to go to Jerusalem. Verse 54. And then when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. 55:6. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives. Is that not beautiful? But to save them. You know, whenever you are trying to ask, which kind of God am I serving? This is the kind of God you are serving. He has no plan to destroy any man's life. So, some of us, I want to use Jesus for hired assassin. You know, you understand what I'm saying? God, that person, we need to take the person out. Dig it. Maybe because the person doesn't like us. It says, I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And then they went to another village. Hallelujah. Before we go to, there are two parts in this Luke chapter 9 that they are very useful for this topic that we're looking at. Now, the first part, which we've looked at, 51 to 56, talks about the focus of Jesus. Now, Jesus' focus is mainly because of his assignment. You know, that's one person. You know, we always say that anything God expects of us, he has worked it in Jesus. So we can see a pattern. We can see an example in the life of Jesus. Now, let's quickly look at some of the things that, you know, would be on the top of his mind. Now, we already said that one of the things he was going to do at Jerusalem is some events need to happen so that they can wrap up this whole salvation conversation, or maybe it can even start, you know. Now, one of the things that Jesus had in mind was, one, the will of the Father. Now, the will of the Father is that it will come, as John said in John 1:29. It says, behold, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. He says that Lamb of God, he has come so that he can take away the sin of the world. So at the point where he was, he's like someone that has an anticipation that once I get these things done, the conversation of sin changes. And so his face was focused on the assignment, which is going to Jerusalem to establish the remission of sin. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. You know, in Revelations, I think Revelations 12, I'm not sure. But, you know, when he spoke about the Lamb of God that has been slain from the foundations of the world. Now, that's like a knowledge of what would happen. And then knowing that, he focused on that. He wasn't distracted. Like the attention in Samaria could have, you know, slowed him down and say, oh, stay here with us, you know. And, you know, he was already a good man in Samaria because of some of the things that they now know him for. But Bible says they did not bother to receive him because of his attention or because of his focus. You know, another thing that Jesus had in mind, you know, like I said, one is Jesus had the will of God in mind, which is to come and die for humanity. He says, I don't have any plan to destroy any man's life, but rather to save them. That is the assignment. You know, John 17 also talks about what he had in mind as well. He says, glorify your Son, that and your Son may glorify you. You know, it says, glorify me with the glory which I had with you from the foundations of the world. You can look at verse 1. Verse 1 talked about that, then this other part. You can stay here. It says, now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had. This was the prayers before he went to the cross. You know, this one of John 17 is a place we call Jesus' prayer to the Father. Hallelujah. Are we all here? So he also had this in mind, that if I go to Jerusalem at crucifixion and at resurrection, I will be given a name that is far above every other name, that at the mention of this name, every knee will bow, and so on and so forth. So you can see that his attention not being swayed was a good attention. It wasn't that he was looking away. Some people could say, oh, why didn't he just stay in Samaria and allow the Samaritan to welcome him? But I like the attitude of the Samaritans. Bible says they rejected him because, I think we should be careful to say they rejected Jesus and not read it out of context. They rejected him because of his attention. So I don't know where they are accommodating us without our attention. Yeah, but don't let us get into our own yet. Let's still be looking at the cases of Jesus. So if we also look at the assignment Jesus was focused on, you know, we also read it in Isaiah 61, which was also recorded in Luke chapter 4, where it talked about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You can go to Isaiah 61. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, when Jesus sent the 70 out, he told them that this is your task. Preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Now, if they went out and they were doing something else, that's no longer the task. Hallelujah. Now, this is Jesus' assignment. He was anointed to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim, verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, particularly who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is a powerful rendition. That, because when Jesus even saw it, he screamed. He's like, let me be this. Yeah. So these are the things that keep Jesus saying that is what I'm busy with is the meat, you know. He says, what I see my Father do, I do. So there's a whole lot we can learn in the life of Jesus as per focus. You know, Jesus is one man that was never distracted. And we are privileged, you know. You know, as it was written in 2 Corinthians 5, 18, that we too, we've received the ministry of reconciliation. So God has also given us assignment as he gave Jesus assignment. He says he reconciled the world, back to God through Jesus, and he has found us worthy to give us what? The ministry of what? Reconciliation. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are here and you are thinking you don't have assignment. You know, I think Ecclesiastes helped us to understand that all of us were made for God kind of task. Meaning we have that privilege. God has ordained us for God-given task. That was the way he wrote it. God-given task. So I can look at my life and I can say that I am with God-given task. But today the emphasis is that we focus on that task. Or we renew our focus. Because Jesus was a man that was focused on his assignment. He says he set his face steadfastly. Steadfastly could mean fasting. Like, is if this is where the work is, he's not looking like this. He's not distracted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so if we focus enough on what God has given to us, we would achieve all the result that God has in mind. Now, don't let us ask ourselves, what would have happened if Jesus was distracted? You won't get the work done when you are distracted. And regardless of how much the assignment might like you, when you are distracted, you will not be the man of the assignment. That was the example we found in Gehazi. You get? You can be so close to the assignment, so close to the work. You can even love the work. But if you're not focused on the work, we'll look at the life of Elijah and we'll see how focus got him even more than the portion. Amen. Because the portion of Elijah is enough, but the double portion of Elijah is more than one. It's more than enough. So Gehazi was disqualified because he couldn't just contain his attention for gain. Because gain at that point for him was a distraction, and he couldn't win that distraction. Hallelujah. So if we focus enough on our assignment, if we focus enough on our God-given task, we would achieve all the result that God has in mind. Because distraction will always be a setback for us. So let's go to Luke chapter, we'll start from 57. You know, I believe 51 to 56 taught us about Jesus' focus. And in 57 to 62, Jesus is teaching us how we should focus and what he feels when we are distracted. 67, please. 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, so they didn't wait at Samaria and they were moving on. Don't forget, the goal is what? Is Jerusalem. Obviously, there will be other villages they will get to. But Bible says, as they were going on that journey, someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The hallelujah has gone down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then he said to another, follow me. Now the first one said, God, I want to follow you. The second one, God told him, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. So we have the instance of the first one, I will follow you. And then God brought, and we should already know the way Jesus interacts. He speaks to your heart. So probably the one that was saying, I will follow you, was looking for accommodation. Did you get? He was looking for where he would squat. Like, if I'm following this man, at least accommodation is covered. So God just told me, foxes have holes, birds, they have nests. Me, I don't have accommodation. You know, they didn't even say any, he didn't even respond. They just immediately moved to the one that he now told, follow me. And they said, first, let me go and bury. There's somebody that died at home. Let me go and bury the person Hallelujah. Yes. Then the third says, I will follow you. He now said, but before I follow you, we always do send forth. Let me first. Now, when the question of first come, that's your focus. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, is always the question of focus. He says, let me first go and bid them farewell. Now, bidding them farewell is not bad. Burying the dead is not bad. But when it's a matter of the first, then the attention is always a question. It's always, where are you guys? Like, you want to follow me, but you want to first. You want to follow me, but you want to first. Now, see his own, there were a lot of other things around Jesus, but his own first is steadfastly setting his face to Jerusalem. And that first can even make people reject him. And say, this guy is too first. He is too first on his first. He is too attentioned on his first. Yeah, there are many other things that Jesus can enjoy by the reason of him being on earth. He can enjoy a lot of things by being in the family of Joseph and Mary. But his face was too configured. I don't know, maybe you can configure your face like that. You know, that people just know that you are going this way. Yeah, I've seen people like that. I think there was a day I wanted to interrupt someone. I just knew that this person's attention and my distraction, not even my distraction, and me coming into that person's space, I will end up being a distraction. You know how many of you have felt that way? You just feel like, don't let me bring this matter now. This person's attention cannot be divided. So Jesus acknowledged that they want to follow him. And he even told one, follow me. But the concern was that trouble of where they were focused on. Verse 62. But Jesus said to him, now you will see what he's finally addressing here to the three of them. He says, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you still here or you've left?
Yes.
Daniel, speak for yourself. He said, we are here. You are not here with your family now. Why are you saying we are here? Speak for yourself. Yeah, I am here. It's not everybody that is here. Because it's always an issue when God seeks all the attention. He says, no one having put his hand on the plow. So if you say you want to follow me, follow me. You know, excuses are one legitimate reason to lose your focus. When you say, I want to follow you, but I want to do this assignment that you have given to me, but I'm a young man. Glory to God. You know, I want to bring the word of God to the church, but everybody is their old people. And me, I'm a young man. You will remember the correction that Paul brought to Timothy. He says, don't allow anybody to despise your youth. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So focus brings us to a state where God's resources are also meticulously used or utilized. Because when you're distracted, your resources are also spent on that distraction. For example, your time, your energy. When you are distracted,
the resources God has given to you to attend to the assignment. Focus would only be able to spend the resources meticulously, but when distraction comes in, you would have to spend those resources on other things. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, even our walk with God requires focus. Being like Jesus, becoming like Christ, requires focus. Can we go to James chapter 1? James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, with meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. 22, we're going to 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, now, they likened hearing and doing to focus. He says, it's like a man observing his face in a mirror. He says, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Now that's steadfast looking. You know, when he spoke about the church in Acts chapter 2, he says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. He says they were looking at the apostles' doctrine steadfastly. He says, and he's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So you can see hearing and doing the word of God is tied to our focus. It means you can hear the word of God and lose focus, and then you would have forgotten who you were. And then you won't have the grace to change. Can we go to Colossians chapter 3? We read the first four verses. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek. Can we all say seek?
Seek.
Yeah, focus on the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. So if a man is not seeking or rightly focusing on the things that are above, he will not see. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear. Can you go to verse 3? No, sorry. 2. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So our focus in the perfect law of liberty would get us to being like Jesus when he appears in glory. So if we say that our walk with God would also end the way Jesus has in mind, is that we focus on the perfect law of liberty, is that we keep focusing on Jesus. We keep looking at him. Bible says, as we look at him, we keep becoming like him. That's what focus gets us. It gets us the desired result. You know, can we look at the charge Timothy was given, the charge he received from Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. And then we'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. He says, he told Timothy, till I come, give attention. That was also focus. Give attention. Now, if Timothy starts praise worship or praise night, the apostle said, we will not leave the place of we praying and giving ourselves to the world to go and serve tables. Now, serving table at that time was lawful because the widows were being disenfranchised. Is it piety? Is that what they call it? You just like, hey, mama, and you've left prayer and what? He says, till I come, give attention, give your focus. Give your focus. Give your focus. You know, I read a chapter during the week, Acts 20. And we never even read it around when we're talking about sound doctrine. That Paul gave a focus to teaching how people should be mindful of false doctrine. He was teaching it for 3 years. That's focus. Now, anybody that stays in that class will never be deceived. He said for 3 years, day and night. Like they were teaching how people should be able to detect what is strange. That was Acts 20, but don't go there. He says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He says, do not neglect the gift. No, don't go further. There's no time. I'm still going somewhere. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, why I'm reading all the scripture is that God uses our focus to achieve the result. It's not your energy. It's your focus. You know, some of us, we want to lose focus and replace it with energy or with hard work. No, focus. See, I will even tell you, for you to quickly know if somebody is fervent, hinge it on focus. If the person is distracted but working hard, you can't think that that is fervency. 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verse 20. Glory to God. He says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed away or strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, he says here that, no, go back to 20. He says, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoiding, so at this instance, profane and idle babblings, they were going to make, or they had the power to make Timothy lose focus. He says, some gave themselves to this, verse 21. They strayed away. So when a man is given an assignment, focus is very important. For example, if you're given a task to do, you have to focus on the task. If you're given an assignment to do, you have to focus on the assignment. Focus is important. When you are distracted, you won't be able to achieve the results that God has for you. He says, till I come, give yourself to reading and exhortation. Focus on reading and exhortation. Focus on, because that would get you the result that you are looking for. So that was what Paul was telling Timothy. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, I said we were still going to read Elisha and Elijah. Okay. Maybe we'll do that some other time. Can we look at Proverbs chapter 4? Or before we look at Proverbs chapter 4, let's quickly look at things that will attack your focus. Can we read First Peter chapter 5, verse 8? Now I have to be fast. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Can we say my adversary?
My adversary.
Yeah. The devil walks like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, he says devil is consistently looking for the person he will get out of the way. And one of the things he uses as a tool to get people out of the way is distraction. So he said, you have an adversary. You think you are the only one on that journey. No, there are three of you. You, God, and the devil. Yeah. You think you are the only one on that journey. You think you are the only one in that marriage. You think you are the only one on that assignment. No, there are three. There are three that are bearing record with you. You, God, and the devil. He says the devil is consistently looking for how he may devour. And one of the ways he devours is distraction. When he gets a man to be distracted, then the man is defeated. Because, see, focus that is lost will be energy applied to distraction. Do you get? Because you have resources. Now, there was a time in my life I knew that everything that my hand touches will be blessed because I'm a child of God. But you know, do you know where devil now came in? He now made it difficult to be able to distinguish what is major and minor. Now imagine a child of God spending, because you know you're a blessed child, but you are spending all your energy activating what is not the major. So God gave you an assignment. But because you are a blessed child, you put yourself in places where your resources are now being utilized. But that is not your major assignment. So I pray that God help me to be able to identify what is major and minor. So I can easily say no to the minor. Even though I know if I say yes to the minor, I will get it done. But do you know that my resources will still be spent on that minor? And the possibility of achieving great result on the major will be reduced. And so that's what I mean. I don't believe you can do everything. You can do everything, but you can't do everything. It is lawful to do everything, but it's not expedient to do everything. Because your focus is divided across the things you are involved in. So you can quickly say, God, which one is? Because you can avoid the minor. Because it's the major God will ask from you. He's the one who will say, how have you done? How have you done this? So the first thing that attacks our focus is past failed attempts. When you've done something before, but you know you failed, is one way this adversary attacks your heart. He'll say, ah, you did it before now. You know what came out of it. Can we read first Isaiah 43:18 quickly? Isaiah 43:18. Past failed attempts. They are like lime in your special food. Like they bring that sour taste to the experience or the beauty of the hope of the future. You know, as you just want to say, God will be good. We say, was it good yesterday? He says, do not remember the former things. Now, this is why he's telling us not to remember the former things. Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, spoke about if a man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Now, the reason why you need to know that all things have become new is so that the past, as Ephesians 2 spoke about what we did in the past, so that that won't have a hold on the new. Or have a hold on the new experience you have with God. So the reason a man will lose focus in his walk with God is the, you know, I was telling someone a while back that what, because every one of us have, we all have gory past. So in your walk with God, devil tries so much to ensure you remember the past. And then you use the performance of the past to determine how you will behave in the new. Now, that's one way it distracts. You say, is it not you? You that you never change. Is it not you that did this? And like we learned a while back, that those things really happened. But, you know, he says, who is it that will bring condemnation? So you literally say, okay, you can't condemn me on this past failure. I'm focused on my new. Because he will try to use the past failed attempts to distract you in the new. To distract you in it. See, it will use how you use the old season to distract. Because it's not so much about the old season. He wants to get the new season. So he will tell you that, do you know how you spent that your last season? Do you know how you did the last season? See, what they are going for is your attention. What they are going for is your focus. Imagine someone, God calling someone, come and serve me. And he's reminding you, do you know how you did student fellowship? He says, come on. Or maybe he says, go to Bible school. He says, I was a rogue in the fellowship. I don't need. Your reason to consider your failed attempt in the past, they are your tickets to be distracted. For example, they told you, do this unit. And say, me that I can't manage two souls. He says, come and do it. Yeah, you couldn't manage two, but God, he says, don't consider the things of the former. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. That's how we live our lives, so that we are not distracted. Because it will bring to our remembrance. That's why it's telling you, don't remember it. It will remind you. You know, at times you're just praying, and then something just, you know, at times the reason why we have some sharp nudgings in the heart is because we remember where we failed. You're just saying, God, I will do it all. You just say, you that you wrote this long episode on Facebook. Hallelujah. So don't give in to past failed attempts. Tell yourself, behold, he is doing a new thing. I think that Isaiah 43:18 is a prophecy for you. It says, don't consider the former things. Don't consider it. Don't consider how it went. This is also the trouble of new believers, new converts, because it will be troubling your pepper in your heart. It says, you saved. Okay, go and sit down, Joe. We know how they run things. He's your adversary. And he's looking for how to devour. Number two is people validation. That's how we get distracted. Thou art a man come from God. Oh, that's what Nicodemus. I wish we can get the exactness of how, maybe like the body language of maybe how Nicodemus was even doing it. He says, thou art a man from God. John 3. He says, nobody does all these things you do except God be with you. God says, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Yeah. Jesus was a man that was not given to people validation. Because people validation, because they are non-relevant acknowledgement. Yeah. That's what people validation, they are non-relevant. Because when it doesn't come, you're affected. When it comes, you have the goosebumps. They are non-relevant acknowledgement. He says, you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered to him, to his heart, that needs solution. He says, most assuredly. Now, most assuredly will be used as, this is the most confirmed truth. Like, this is what we should be discussing now. I say to you, unless, that's the focus. Don't forget his work. Is that people will, he says, I have not come to destroy the lives of people. Neither have I come to collect accolades from men. I have come to save their lives. So every opportunity Jesus had with men is to get them saved. He says, Oga, forget accolade. You can't be whining me. I know where I came from. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, another thing I wrote here which causes destruction is the unknowns due to lack of experience. For example, you know, God says, start this work. But because you've never done it before, now, a distraction could be the weight of the unknown. What can go wrong? What is in this space? And then before you know it, you are brought to a place where you are asking yourself, what am I even doing here? So the weight of the unknown due to lack of experience, you haven't walked that path before. I'm sure someone that God is saying, get married. Go and get married. He's saying, what are they doing there? I don't have the experience. Yeah, you don't have the experience. But you can't allow the weight of the unknowns be your distraction. God says, do this thing for me. Do this thing. Yeah, get it done. Oh, nobody has done it before. Yeah, that's why you are the pioneer of great things. So get it done. Don't allow the weight of unknowns. You know, that's one way to excuse yourself out of God's things. When you begin to list out the things that can go wrong. God, have you sorted this one? God, what will happen if they come from my mother? God, what will happen? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, another thing that attacks our focus is reward or prices before the end of the assignment. Can we go to Philippians chapter 4? Or 3, Philippians chapter 3, from verse 10 to 14. This was Paul. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. 11. If by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. 12. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on. Can you say press on?
Press on.
Press on. When the work of God grows in your hand, press on. Even if men or God rewards you at the in progress state of that work, press on. Press on. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. You will be distracted. He says that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Now that was the reason why he is not stopping. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of so this is the real price to get. For Jesus, it wasn't all people, he was just healing. His eyes were set as a flint on getting to Jerusalem. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So rewards or prizes before the end of the task. See, until you hear, well done, good and faithful servant, keep your focus. Keep your focus. Hallelujah. Another thing that comes against our focus is noise. Noise. Another thing that comes against our focus is rejection. I think I want to talk a little about this. Rejection. Can we go to Matthew chapter 13? I'm not sure if we want to read that. It's a long read though. Let's go to Matthew 13, 53. Rejection. You know, this one is actually the highest hold of destruction that the enemy wages against God's people. Because we think and we know we are amazing. So when we are rejected, he hits us. So as a child of God, you must learn to chop shame of rejection. It says, for Jesus, for the joy that was set ahead of him. That shame, he chopped it. It says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man... Now, he went on and on. They were ridiculing him. Like, this is son, the carpenter's son. His brother's not with us. Blah, blah, blah. Now, can we go to the last verse that I want to read here? I think 58. He says, now, he did not do many mighty works there. Is it because he's not anointed? No. He says, because of their what? Their unbelief. And he left there, still going about doing good. It wouldn't go from here and it would become a powerless Jesus. Yeah. They commonize, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Tayotamo? Yeah. See, wherever you are rejected, leave. That's what he told them in Luke chapter 9. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. He says, when you enter that house, when he sent the 70, and they don't receive you, leave there. They start explaining the awesomeness of your anointing. Do you know I'm anointed? No. See, anytime you first say that thing, that do you know I'm a child of God? What do you mean, say? Leave. Leave, leave. He says, when you just entered their city and they don't find peace with you and they don't find you okay to come into their house and stay there, he says, leave. It's Luke chapter 9. He says, leave, leave. Don't, see, wherever you're rejected, leave. Don't stay to explain. Some of us, when they send us rejection email, you want to try and explain. Leave. Just move on. Move on. Move on. Move on. Don't. Yeah. They'll say, they send me rejection. And that come. Move on. If you're amazing, there's somewhere waiting for you. There's somewhere that is waiting for you. When you want to explain, the HR is a bad person. This one is a bad person. That's why. No. You are distracting yourself. Because distraction is a sign of unbelief. Because when you are distracted, your faith is the one that is attacked. Because your faith on a God-given task gets you focused. Yeah. When God has told you that do this thing and he gives you faith for that thing, you're focused on it. But once you're distracted, you leave the assignment, meaning you are doubting the essence and the promises of God over that thing. So don't be distracted. I think we're done with this. Don't be distracted by people's assignments. Now, some could come as encouragement. I mean, you can see someone doing great things for God and you're encouraged. Some, it will provoke us to good works. But don't be distracted. Hallelujah. Let me see where I can tie this and we'll pick it up some other time. Okay, let's pray. Can we open up Philippians chapter? I think we read this coming. Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Because there are three prayers I want us to pray. You know, the focuses that are lost, God will recover them. You know, we'd also be praying that, you know, weights that decelerate us and cause us to be distracted, that the fire of God will burn them away. Amen. And the third prayer we're going to pray is, we receive a new resolve for our assignments. New resolve, new focus. New resolve. Hebrews, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That also talks about focus. Verse 2. looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. That's the example for us. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I said we'll be praying three prayers. That Lord will recover every focus that is lost. Can we begin to pray? Every lost focus is recovered. Yeah, you can talk to God about the assignment God has given to you. In the name of Jesus, every focus that is lost, places I have been distracted. Let it be a recovery. Let it be a recovery. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let it be a recovery. God-given assignment, God-given task. Even focus on your destiny, on your life, on your walk with God. You can ask for recovery. You can dispel every distraction. Distractions are also confusion. You can dispel them. I will not be found wanting on every God-given assignment. Over my life, I will not be found wanting. I have a new resolve for my assignment. I have a new focus. I have a new focus. In the name of Jesus, we pray a new focus. A new focus. A new focus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, everything God has assigned to me, my eyes is set as a flint. I will not be distracted whether there are men accolades or not. I will not be distracted whether men reject me or not. Whether men despise my youthfulness. I will not be distracted. I have a new resolve. I have a new resolve. I am not decelerating. Rather, I'm accelerating. I am focused. I am set. My eyes are set. My face is set steadfastly on that which God has committed to me. In the name of Jesus, can we also begin to pray that we dispel every weight? We dispel every weight, every distraction, every weight, whether we know it or not, but anything that has added to it itself to us, everything that has added itself to us and has caused a deceleration and has caused a distraction, a losing of focus, I dispel them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, distraction, you don't have a hold on me. You don't have a hold on me. This distraction, you don't have a hold on me. This distraction that has kicked you out of quiet time. The distraction that has kicked you out of every godly essence. In the name of Jesus, let every weight be taken out. Let every weight be taken out. Are they thorns, cares of life? Let them be taken out. Let them be taken out. In the name of Jesus, this morning we receive a renewed resolve. Renew resolve. Renew resolve. In the name of Jesus, on the Nehemiah Project, we will not be distracted. Marosikepaya, Ambriketombilikamandia, on getting souls saved, we will not be distracted. Master Kopeketista, on the heavenly vision you've given to us, we will not be distracted. We will not be distracted. Waripakutamania and Bababaya. We will not consider that we have apprehended. We have not apprehended yet. We have not arrived. We have not done it all yet. Father, we receive a new resolve, a new focus, a new resolve, a new focus, a new resolve. I have been given a department to raise according to the will of God. I receive a new resolve. Every HOD here, receive a new resolve in the name of Jesus, to focus on that which God has shown to you. In the name of Jesus, every business owner, receive a new resolve to do that which God has revealed to your heart and not be distracted, and not be dismayed, and not be discouraged, and not be distracted in the name of Jesus. Oh, barista bakadoshta. Ibraka papaya ndo shikepaya. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed? Amen. Can we give God praise?